wonderful day that God has blessed us with. We have the opportunity now to join ourselves in this wonderful study hall. So grateful for all of our regular Bible students that join us. They add a great deal to the program. Many things that would be lost or not go mentioned are brought up by them, and the study takes on a unique flavor of itself as we gather together and seek to enrich one another with the study of God's Word. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, I do want to give you just a small cautionary note that this is a Bible study, a study hall for the brave, for the spiritual-minded Bible student. Now, what that means simply is that we make absolutely no apology for the word that God spoke or the manner in which he said it. His word choices are his and his alone, and it would be presumptuous upon humanity to engage in anything outside of that. And so, my friends, I'm certainly glad that you've had the opportunity to join us, that you, I pray, are prepared and poised to study, to meditate. That's right, to reflect upon the precious book divine. We have been engaged in a study of God's Word, emblems, symbols, likenesses of God's Word that are listed in the Bible, and we have talked about the Bible as a mirror to reflect. The Bible is a hammer to convict. The Bible as a fire to refine us. And then today we want to look at the Bible as the Word. It may seem like, well, duh, of course it's the Word, but this is maybe one of those items that we have a tendency to look beyond. It's one of those items in which we just kind of quickly move past that it is the Word, that it is the Word of God. And so as such, I think we're invested in a good study today because the Word sanctifies. And that's our study for today. Now, before we get there, I do want to offer this invitation to all that might listen to this program or join us live, and that is that the Nesbitt Church of Christ would like to take this opportunity to have you come by and visit with them, coronavirus or not. We are open for service, and we have not been closed for service, and so nor do we ever intend to close for service save that great day of judgment. And on that day, it really won't be a closure. It'll just be a transformation. We're going to transfer our citizenship from this earth unto the glorious and eternal kingdom of his blessed Son. And so as such, we don't ever expect the doors to be closed on the Church of Christ. But we would like to extend this invitation to you to come and join us at the Nesbitt Church of Christ. We meet at 685 Nesbitt Road every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for our Bible study, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for our opportunities of worship, and we meet every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We would love to have you come by and join us for any of those opportunities of worship and Bible study. I do want to recognize not just those who are listening via the gospelradionetwork.org, TGRN as we often refer to it. I want to recognize those who are studying with me on Facebook Live. I see that Sister Higgins has joined us from South Texas. Brother Furness has joined us from Central Oklahoma. Sister Woodall's joined us from the Northern Woods of Wisconsin. And let's see here. I know that we have some others that are in our study, but have not made reference to where they are yet. That's fine and dandy. We appreciate all of our Bible listeners and Bible students. I also want to recognize all of those who are listening to us via WJHF 106.9 in the Florence, Alabama area, and welcome them to the program. Glad that you're listening on that venue. We also want to encourage you to go by and see our family and friends at the Jackson Heights Church of Christ. Give them a call at the Jackson Heights Church of Christ for their COVID times of services. The phone number today, as always, is 405-428-2440. Once again, that is 405-428-2440. And with that, my friends, that means that you can give us a contact. This is a daily live broadcast every weekday, Monday through Friday, 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. It is replayed 11:30 to 12:30, 11:30 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. here on the Gospel Radio Network. And you can always find it on my feed in Facebook. And, well, let's see here. What else do we have here going on? I do want to continue to remind you about January the 27th through the 31st and the 22nd annual Standing in the Gap Lectures here at Nesbitt, Mississippi. Our theme this year is Come Now, Let Us Reason Together. And if ever there was a time that we needed a little common sense, a little sound reasoning, it would be now. And so I'm looking forward. I think this is one of the, well, I know it's one of the best lectureships that I've ever directed, and I've had the privilege of putting several together, from the Wellington Forum to the Young Men's and now Men's Development Conference, and now the Standing in the Gap Lectures. And I will tell you that I believe this may be one of the finest. The men that are coming, the subjects that have been chosen, the general atmosphere of this year. I'm looking forward so much to this particular lectureship, and I want to encourage you with all of my heart that if you can get here for the fellowship, for the participation, to be right here while these lessons are being delivered, then I want to encourage you to do that. Now, I do also understand that there are some restrictions that people have, but I do want to encourage you to do that with all of my heart. All right, today we're going to have a word of prayer as we normally do. We're going to have our song, and then we're going to get into our Bible study. So let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we realize that Thou art a majestic and holy being, that thy name, that is, thy character, thy attributes, thy essence, should be praised and adored. We recognize, our Heavenly Father, that we do not deserve to be within thy presence, save for the blood of Jesus Christ. Our thoughts, our words, our deeds have been in transgression of thy will, but through the blood that Jesus shed upon the cross, we have access to thee, because that sin washes away sacrifice washes away our sins. And we are so grateful that you would allow your Son, and that your Son would so willingly sacrifice himself on our behalf. Father, we have very little to give, but we give all that we have in service to thee. Father, we're mindful of those it is our privilege to pray for, all of our government officials, president all the way down, and throughout all of the offices that are above us. We realize, our Heavenly Father, that they have the power of life and death within their hands, and we pray that they might choose a pathway of life for those, their citizens. And we're thankful, our Heavenly Father, that you've established government. And we pray that government might also recognize thee as the establisher. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, of those individuals it's been our privilege to pray for in regards to those that are sick with COVID or sick with other ailments, those in the hospital, those who are recovering from accidents and things such as that. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that you would continue to shine your blessed love down upon them. We're mindful of those who, our Heavenly Father, have lost loved ones, and we pray for them. We ask our Heavenly Father that you keep all of those families in thy tender care, and that the brethren might be able to strengthen them during this hour of need. We ask that you be with us today, our Heavenly Father, as we study thy word. We ask that thy word would enlighten us, that it would guide us and direct us, that we would, with honest and good hearts, approach it, and that we would study it, and that we would obey it. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Heavy load, or lay your burden down. You're walking on heaven's road, and when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load.
Jesus said he'd walk along with me.
Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
Ain't no people crying
there. Ain't no sadness anywhere.
Ain't no need to shed a tear.
You're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
Young folks walking hand in hand and singing with the angel band.
Old folks ain't so tired and worn. They're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? All right, my friends, you know what I'm going to say already. What a beautiful, beautiful, encouraging song that is. I'll be honest with you. I don't know that I could not hear that song every day and just love it to death in regards to that. Oh, by the way, I should have mentioned, and I will bring some of these tomorrow, but over to my left, you can't see it. I don't think I can take the camera and show you, but over to my left are five boxes, and I don't know how many tracks these boxes have in them, but I have five boxes of brand new tracks by Tolstar, and Tolstar is a wonderful a place that Tolstar.org, and you can go there and listen to sermons as they are recorded. You can search per speaker, for subject, for series, and you can listen to those sermons that have already been uploaded. If you would like a video of many of them. Now, we don't have video of all of them. Some of them are just audio that we have upgraded, but if you would like one of those, then you can make a request from Tolstar to do that. But I have five boxes of tracks, and if you would be interested in any of those, I will get out the topics of those, and so that you can have access to those. But I'll try to get those sent out, 10, probably 10 in a package, sent out at now the postage maybe, but there will be no cost for these, but you will have to supply your mailing address, or you could come here and pick them up in person as we do the 22nd annual Standing in the Gap lectureship, and that's January the 27th through the 31st of 2021. You knew I was going to try to get that in one more time, so but we would certainly be willing to send those out, and I will tomorrow. I will make sure that I have those five so that I can give you all of the details of that. And we are in, this is the second series of tracks that we have published. I think you can go on Tolstar and you can look over the other tracks that have been published. And there's also a book. It was a book that was written, and it's entitled No Whining at Papa's House. And it was written by a faithful gospel preacher, a friend of mine, a friend of the entire staff at Tolstar, great servant of God, and he was receiving a bone marrow transplant. And while he was doing that, he sat down and wrote a log of and an encouraging word, I think almost every day during the process and then after the process. And it is a great testament to the Word of God and the human spirit. And so that book is also listed on Tolstar. This is not an advertisement. We publish that book for and send it out for less than $5. So it's but it is a tremendous encouragement. I read every single one of those as they came out. And then with others, there was a recommendation of publishing these. I will tell you, and in fact, I contacted his doctor. Well, I can't tell you the story. I just don't have time for the story, the back story, as they would say. I think the book is entitled No Whining at Papa's House, and but it's the only book that is on Tolstar at present. We do have plans to publish more tracks and more books. By the way, let me just throw this out. If you have any suggestions on track titles or track themes, one that you would like to see, then make a suggestion to me, send it an email, a text, or you can put it here, and I'll make sure that I keep an eye on that. Again, that is Tolstar, TULLSTAR.org, and then you can see all of the information that is there. All right, well, let's go now to our Bible study, and our Bible study begins today where it began last night in our Bible study. It's not the same topic, but it does revolve around the same text, and that is John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, Jesus says in verse number 14, I have given them, speaking of his disciples, specifically his apostles, I have given them thy word. A little bit later on, he says in verse number 17, sanctify them in truth, or through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, it is the word that sanctifies us. And as such, it is important that we understand the illustration of the word. And I wish we had time to just cover, and that would be a good study sometime, just to cover the book of John, to notice John's terminology of the word, the power that is invested in the word as it sanctifies us. And I do want to spend just a little bit of time there, but I want to take you over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and notice beginning in verse number 22. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word and the seed are attached together in this passage. Now, we're going to cover the seed and that particular principle a little later in our study. But what I want us to notice here is that the word of God cleanses us or sanctifies us regards to making us holy. Now, we do need to understand a little bit about sanctification. Now, sanctification and glorification are attached here as well in John chapter 17, because he says earlier in verse number 10, all are mine, are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now he's talking about, he is praying for his disciples. He first begins to pray for himself, and in verse number 1, he says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. So Jesus was going to be glorified. That was going to be the death, burial, and resurrection, his ascension into heaven, his coronation as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All of that would be his glorification. And through that process, Jesus would glorify the Father. The scheme of redemption. He says, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Verse number 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now notice verse number 6. I have manifest thy name unto them. Unto whom? He's been praying for himself and his relationship with God. Now he is praying for his disciples, his soon-to-be apostles. He says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. That giving them out of the world was a sanctification process. So he says, thine they were, and thou gavest them to me. Now notice this, they have kept thy word. So again, glorification, sanctification, and the word of God all placed together in regards to this. So what does sanctification mean? If the word sanctifies, then what is this ideal of sanctification? Well, sanctification actually comes to us through a Latin root, and it just simply means to make holy. That's the two words that are combined together in Latin to make this word. Simply means to make holy. That's what we're talking about here. And so sanctification describes, now listen to me, this is very important. Sanctification describes the process by which one is made holy. Sanctification describes the process by which one is made holy. So Jesus said, sanctify them through thy word. It is the word of God that now is invoked in regards to the process of making one holy. So it is important that we understand what this word means. Webster defines it simply as the act of consecrating or setting apart for a sacred purpose, the act of making holy. So the Latin, the English, and the Greek, by the way, Vines describes as separation to God. So here we have in all of these languages, this word is a very precise word that describes the process by which one is made holy. It is a separation to God. And in fact, the Bible defines for us what sanctification is. Look at me, or look with me at Genesis chapter 2. And in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 3, we find the first time this word is utilized. And it says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work and he rested on the seventh day. He rested on the seventh day from all his work which God created and made. Now, that's the process. Notice he separated the seventh day. Verse number 3, God blessed the seventh day and what? Sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all the work which God created and made. So there was a creation, a process in 6 days, and on the seventh day, then we find that that day is sanctified unto God. Notice with me in Exodus chapter 29 and verse number 37. Exodus 29, verse number 37. Listen to what he has to say here. 7 days shalt thou make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. So there was a process by which, and it's called sanctification, it's a process by which something is sanctified or set apart unto the service of God. Exodus, let's go back to Exodus chapter 13 and notice verses 1 and 2. Here says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast. Now notice the definition. If you want a good definition of sanctification, here it is. It is mine. Notice verse number 12. That thou shalt set apart unto the Lord. There's the definition. Set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of the beast which thou hast, the males, shall be the Lord's. And so we are dealing with that which is, when we talk about sanctification and the word sanctifying, the word is that which sets men aside to make them holy and to set them aside for God's service. Brother David Johnson, it's good to see you, my brother. He is absolutely correct when he says the tribe of Levi was sanctified. They were set apart unto the service of God. And all of these things, animals, people, all of these things, the tabernacle, all of the furniture within the tabernacle, all of this was sanctified by the word. It was God spake and it was sanctified. See, the only person that can sanctify something unto God's service is God. I forget who it was. It may have been Sister Anita that published a post about somebody saying something about the Lord's Supper. They used this because that's all that they had. And God knew their heart. And God didn't sanctify whatever it was, Pepsi and Ritz crackers. God didn't sanctify that, you see. He sanctified the fruit of the vine and unleavened bread. Those are things that were sanctified for that purpose. And so for me then, we talk about this from the very beginning of the program. That's what makes this program dangerous to people, is that we're not going to presume upon God. Who said, and this was my response then, who said that God only judges the heart? Who said that God, that the heart is the most important thing in the judgment? Who says these things are the only? I deny, and I mentioned in the post, I deny every aspect of what was said there. And Sister Anita was absolutely correct to point out the error of that kind of thinking. You don't think we need sound reasoning today? Listen to the post, and those are probably Christians or people who have been baptized. I don't know if I can call them Christian anymore. They have at one time been sanctified, but I don't know if they're sanctified any further. But all things, anything can be sanctified. An animal, a person, a thing, and it's set apart for the purpose of God, to be utilized for Him. That's the meaning of sanctification. And that's what the Word does. So once an individual or a piece of furniture or whatever has been separated or sanctified, it's not to be utilized again for common purposes. When the pagans came through under different regimes, and they would offer something that was forbidden by God upon the altar. Some of the pagans would offer, when they overtook Jerusalem, they would offer hogs or pigs in the sanctuary of God, and it would be polluted. The Jews would go through the same process, ritual process that they went through during the time of the tabernacle to sanctify it, to set it apart for those things. Now, let's just add one more aspect to this from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and let's just begin at verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and let's begin at verse number 14. And notice the use when Paul tells the Corinthians, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate. There's the ideal, right? Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Now, let's not stop there. Go to the conclusionary statement in chapter 7 in verse number 1. Having therefore these promises, the promises he's just talked about, the promise of God being our Father, of we being his children, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Now, we're going to get to a particular illustration, and we'll mention it a couple of times here, but we're going to spend a lot of time on the laver and the washing. But here he says, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Now, I want you to back up with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That's 2 Corinthians. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I want you to notice verse number 11. Right? And there he says, and we'll talk a little bit more time remaining about this a little bit later, but he says, and such were some of you. What? You were adulterers, idolaters, fornicators, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. You were thieves, covetous, murderers, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, and such like. But he says, and such were some of you. But ye are, that's what you were then, this is what you are now, because you have been washed, right? Ye are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by his Spirit, by the Spirit of our God. And so there is a process of washing, there is a process of sanctification, and there is a process of justification that now goes along. So now we've got the Word of God, we've got a washing that takes place, we've got a sanctification that takes place, a justification that takes place, and there's a glorification that takes place. I'm telling you, you can't, this is too good to make up right here. This is beautiful stuff when we start looking at what these words mean in relationship to that. So let's see if we can look and see what we're talking about here from maybe a more practical aspect. When we talk about the word sanctifying, see, there's really two parts to this. The word initially sanctifies. The word is used in that process of making us holy initially, but also of continuing to maintain that. You see, with the Corinthians, they had already been sanctified. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Beginning in verse number 2, Paul is writing, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ. So they have already been sanctified, but here he says the process of that sanctification was the fact that you cannot be sanctified unless you are washed. And then after you are washed, then are you sanctified, set apart for the Master's use. Then are you justified. Then God treats us as if we had never sinned. So let's think about this. All individuals who become Christians are set apart at the time that they were saved. This sanctifying process is called in Acts 2:47, added to the church. In Colossians 1 in verse number 23, it is referred to as translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. In Galatians 3:26 and 27, it is entering Christ. One must enter into Christ in order that, I like that, David, purification precedes sanctification. So you have a purification, which is the washing, you have a sanctification, you have a justification, and you have a glorification. Now, David, that will preach. In fact, that may make an entire series of lessons, and we may note that for later in regards to that. Now, Sister Woodall mentioned earlier the passage we started with in John 17 and 17, and certainly the gospel is that which sanctifies, right? But let's add another passage to that. Let's add Acts chapter 20 and verse number 32. Acts 20 and verse number 32, he says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace." There's the word again, the word of his grace, which is able, notice this, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. That glorification process is the inheritance, and we have such a blessed hope in Christ Jesus. So those that have heard, those that have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, those who have been baptized into Christ, that's the purification process, then those that continue to live by the principles are those that will continue that sanctification process. They were purified, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Blood is the cleansing agent within the water, but you must come to the water. And so it is important that we understand this process justifies. It causes us to be held as though we were never guilty. Now, we were guilty. That's the difference between being... some people go through a court system and they are pronounced not guilty. That is, there is no evidence that has been presented that they were guilty, and so they're pronounced not guilty. Then there are some people who are pronounced guilty, but then are pardoned. If you were pardoned, it means that you were guilty. That you were declared to be guilty. And that's what a pardon does. So God pardoned us through the propitiation, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our willing obedience to the gospel, thus we are pardoned. You don't have to accept a pardon. You can stay in that condemned state. In fact, God offers a pardon. You realize that you know, we have a lot of talk, incorrectly, by the way. I don't want to get into that, but we have a lot of talk about just setting prisoners free by the huge numbers. Do you realize God was the first one to offer pardon for guilty, wicked, vile men? By the way, a Christian is not fundamentally opposed to a pardon. I think we need to be very careful when we may oppose what some are doing for political gain and what is actually being done. We're not opposed to being pardoned. We are grateful every day that God has pardoned us through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. But there is a process. It's not just signed over and it's done. There is a process. There is a repentance that one must go through in order to get to that pardoning process. So God justifies, that is, he causes us to be held as if we were not guilty of sin in his sight. And then we are sanctified, That is, we are set up for service in His kingdom. Notice here. Salvation is in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 2:10, right? Salvation is in Christ. Yeah, you got to watch that auto-correct sometimes, right? Salvation is in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 10. Sanctification is in Christ Jesus, the passage we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 2. Baptism puts one into Christ, Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 27, where all spiritual blessings are found, Ephesians 1 and verse number 10. All right, so all spiritual blessings, purification, justification, or sanctification, justification, glorification, are those spiritual blessings? If so, they are only found in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord, right? There is no other place that can be found in regards to that. And so that's the first part of that. The only way to get there is through the Word, right? Sanctification through the Word of God. But sanctification is also used in your Bible to refer to a continuing process on the child of God. For example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 23, these Christians had already been sanctified, but he wanted them to be sanctified. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, notice here, verse number 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Now that's not H-O, that's W-H-O-L-L-Y. That's completely. "And I pray to God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blamelessly." So they had been sanctified, completely set apart for the service of God. But then you gotta remain faithful. You gotta continue to listen and give heed to the Word of God. You know, there are some people, even in religious circles, who, when they see the Bible, they see the Bible as a dead letter. And in fact, reading this week on this particular subject, your Calvinists are those who see the Bible as a dead letter. That's how they view it. And the Bible has absolutely, it's just words on a page to them. It's dead until the Holy Spirit comes and zaps you and infuses you with the ability to hear. And then the Word of God comes alive. My friends, that's not what's presented in the Bible. The Bible talks about our role and responsibility in regards to this. Our role to, let's just look at a couple of passages here. I mean, they're very simple, clean, clear passages. They would be hard to understand. Notice this, "But let patience," James 1 and 4, "have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting in nothing." There's sanctified wholly. But notice he says, let. It's not the Holy Spirit causing, it's us letting the Word of God. James chapter 1 and verse number 21, "Wherefore lay apart." Who's doing the activity here? We are. "Wherefore," the Holy Spirit gave the word. This is no dead letter. And so when it is obeyed, it's activated in the hearts of good and honest men. "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive." Who lays apart? Who receives? Well, what are we to receive? How? With meekness. What? The engrafted word. So the word must be engrafted before it has its sanctifying power. And he says, which is able to save your souls. So without that, it has no saving power. The Bible, never opened, has no saving power for you. Oh, the saving power is invested here, but it has no saving power for you until you open it, until you give heed to it, until you obey it, until you infuse it or engraft it into your soul. The process is spoken of in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. And remember our passage in 2 Corinthians 7:1, perfecting holiness. Who is responsible for that? Well, the glory goes to God because He developed the plan. He shared the plan with us. It is an inspired, revealed, a deity-designed plan, but you and I must activate that plan in our lives. I can't activate it for you, and you cannot activate it for me. It is an individual responsibility that we have with regards to those things. And so sanctification is not just the process by which we are initially brought into the service of God. It is the way that we continue that and as we are separated from God. Oh, I like that. A daily guidebook for everyday living. That's exactly what we're talking about with regards to the Bible. So let's talk about some results. How do we know when a person is sanctified? I can't look into their soul. I can't see within side of a man. And I don't have the ability of deity to be able to do that. Neither do you. So how would we know? How do we know? Well, if one is sanctified, here's what I do know. He has a deep reverence for sacred things. He has a profound respect for the Bible, for worship, for the Lord's church, and for the name of the Lord. Now, you just think about that for a second. When he speaks of God, when he speaks to God, he does so with a sense of awe and respect. He does not utilize the name of the Lord in a frivolous way. I like that, Brother David. By their fruits, Jesus said in Matthew 7, you shall know them. And a man that is producing these fruits, one of those fruits is going to be a genuine reverence and awe for the things of God. He never uses the Lord's name loosely or in vain. He is not critical. And by this, sometimes we speak of the church as if we know the entire church. I hear young preachers doing this quite often, and I'm amazed at their ability to know the whole church. Actually, I'm amazed at their ignorance more so. But I don't speak for the whole church. I'm going to say, well, the church doesn't do this and the church doesn't do that. Really? How do you know? How do you know that? I've heard people say preachers don't preach on this. Some preachers don't. But listen, if I'm a preacher and I'm hearing myself 99% of the time, the rest of the 1% I'm hearing other people at lectureships, gospel meetings, and visiting preachers, but I'm hearing myself and I'm saying preachers aren't preaching on this, what does that mean? It means I ain't preached on it in a while. So maybe I need to quit saying everybody else ain't doing it, and I need to say that I'm not doing it. We need to speak rather than speaking so critical of the church. I get tired of people, even in the Lord's church. The Lord's church right now, so many places on Facebook, here's what you see. Now, this is not the Lord's church, the whole church. This is members of the Lord's church. I want you to, America has never been great, and America has never been good, and America is, and it's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any, and they act as if Christianity never had an influence on America. They act as if America is no better than ancient Rome in its paganism, in ancient Greece in its paganism, in all of the other, it's no better than a communist nation in its atheism. It's no better than a Muslim country in regards to its Islamic faith, that it just exists as an immoral entity. And that there's no hope for that. Brethren, I deny that. I deny that vehemently, and I believe that it can be clearly shown, not that we always did everything right or that we are God's people. America is not God's people. The church is God's people. But what I'm saying is that the church and the Bible had a profound influence on the American mindset. And that is important, I believe, for us to remember in regards to that. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 14. Notice he says, follow peace and holiness with all men, without which no man shall see the Lord. And in fact, the idea of holiness there is sanctification, the process by which we are made holy. Well, I'm going to run out of time here, but that is the prime. Listen, you're going to begin to look at things. Look at things through the eyes of God's Word. God's Word has a different perspective on things. And so if one is sanctified, then he is going to begin to hate all sin, all religious error, and he's going to love the truth, right? Psalm 119, verse number 128. He's going to delight in worshiping God. It is not easy for him to miss any service. In fact, he would have to be hard-pressed to do so. Well, my friends, our time is gone, and the Word of God, or the Bible is the Word of God, sanctifies men. Let's live as if we have been sanctified. God bless and have a wonderful day.